And I believe in being positive, and I believe in being optimistic, but in order to do that properly, you absolutely positively have to make a realistic assessment of what's going on. And a left-wing version of clap louder is not the answer. But anyway, I was going to point out real quick, because I've only got a few more minutes here before we have to go. And by the way, it's going to be Fourth Estate Radio on afterwards with John Fox, my good friend down under, and Bruce Birch, who I don't know if he's still out in California or not. I'm not sure. But Fourth Estate Radio will be on at 10 o'clock right after my show. And we're glad to have them. We're glad for all of the shows on here. For Bob Kincaid, of course, and primarily because Bob is the founder of the Head On Network. And for John Fox and Bruce Birch, and Birch does All Things We Considered. And for Guy James, and for everybody else who's on the Head On Network. But let me get to my point before we run out of time here. There was something that happened 2,500 years ago in Athens during the Peloponnesian War, and I want to point this out. And I wanted to bring it up in context with the point about the Godwin thing about Nazism. And it's just the reality that this is human nature. This has been going on for 2,500 years. What the Nazis did wasn't any different from what was going on 2,500 years ago. And basically, I'll try to make it as quick as possible. The Athenians were at war with Sparta, and who were their ancient enemy. And what they were doing was they were taking over islands and lands that used to be under Spartan control. The Spartans ruled the land. They couldn't take Athens itself because Athens was too well protected by its walls. And they couldn't take it from the Navy point of view because Athens' Navy ruled the Mediterranean Sea at the time. Now, there was an island called Melos who used to be a tributary to Sparta. They weren't voluntarily that way. The Spartans conquered them. And the Athenians went and took them over, and they said, basically, well, you're our slaves now. You're our tributary now. But the Melians didn't want to be that way. And they asked for the chance to negotiate terms. And this is a short excerpt of it. It's called the Melian Dialogues. And I know Bob Kincaid knows about it because we talked about it once on his show. And basically, it went something like this. The Athenians said, there's no point bothering you with the same old story about how we have a right to our empire because of our military, or tell you that we're attacking you because of something you did to us. We won't bore you with a long speech, which you wouldn't believe anyway. So, since we both know exactly what's going on, we hope that you'll just make it easy for both of us, accept it for what it is, and make the best of it. You know as well as we do that this is how the world is. Rights only come into play between equals in power. The strong do whatever they want, and everyone else does whatever they can. And that is basically the attitude we have now from the Bush administration. That's the attitude that the Nazis took when they gained political power. These are people who know nothing but how to grab power, and the only thing they know what to do with it when they have it is to grab more power. There's no vision behind it. And I think it's a biblical quote. I heard it from Lincoln. It said, when there's no vision, the people die. And I'm getting messages from Agnes, lovely Agnes Kincaid, out there in West Virginia, saying that we have to put an end to it. And, yeah, it was a good show tonight. I was glad. Even though I got stuck here by myself again, I got to get more people on. Next week, we're going to have Mark Crispin Miller on. At least he's promised, anyway, to be on. And we're going to talk more about the election fraud coming up in 2006, and he's got a new book about that. Fourth Estate Radio is coming up next. Thanks again to Agnes for producing the show out of West Virginia. And this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe radio show for the Head On Radio Network, signing off for this week. Until next week, bye. I'll lick a spoon of sugar. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe.
This is the Quality News Network. The FBI and Homeland Security Department announced today that they uncovered a terrorist plot that targeted New York's underground tunnels. The plot involved 8 suspects. One was arrested in Lebanon, and 2 others were taken into custody elsewhere. One official said the plot was still in its planning stages, and no operational steps had been taken. At the United Nations today, Japan began circulating a draft resolution calling for sanctions against North Korea. It calls for halting missile-related financial and technology activities with Pyongyang. But China and Russia remain opposed to that action, saying it will only make the situation worse. A vote on the resolution may not come until next week. In Britain today, the country observed 2 minutes of silence. That was to mark the 1-year anniversary of the London bombings that killed 52 people. An official warned that more attacks are being planned at home and abroad. In Israel, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is denying that a deal with the Palestinians is in the works. Earlier, an Israeli official suggested that if the Palestinians release an Israeli soldier and stop launching rockets, Israel will release some of its Palestinian prisoners. 7 more Palestinians were killed today, bringing the death toll over the last 2 days to 32 Palestinians and 1 Israeli. In Iraq today, 11 Shiite worshippers were killed and at least 55 wounded in 4 mosque bombings. And in Afghanistan, 1 soldier was killed and another wounded when militants ambushed a U.S.-led convoy. In Washington, the Pentagon says more than 1,000 soldiers were discharged from the Army last year for personality disorders. That comes the same week a former Army private who was discharged for the same reason pleaded not guilty to charges of raping an Iraqi woman and killing her and her family. A civil rights group says white supremacists are joining the U.S. military to receive the world's best combat training. The Southern Poverty Law Center says relaxed recruiting standards have made it easier for members to join. In New Jersey tonight, lawmakers are expected to vote on a new state budget that would end a nearly week-long government shutdown and allow Atlantic City's casinos to reopen. The Space Shuttle Discovery crew is now transferring thousands of pounds of supplies to the International Space Station. The mission has been extended by 1 day and is now expected to last 13 days. In Aspen, Colorado, a private memorial service will be held for Enron founder Kenneth Lay on Sunday.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
On Monday, Henry Paulson will be sworn in as a new U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's a former CEO of Goldman Sachs. The Labor Department reports payrolls rose by a disappointing 121,000 last month, while the unemployment rate remained at 4.6%. One economist blamed a slowing economy and rising energy prices. GM's board of directors voted today to discuss possibly joining forces with Nissan and Renault. A meeting could take place next Friday. Microsoft will be launching a rival to Apple's iPod later this year. Users will be able to use the device to download music without having to connect to a computer. Coca-Cola is reevaluating how it safeguards its trade secrets. Earlier this week, 3 people were accused of stealing trade secrets and trying to sell them to rival Pepsi. Singular is facing a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of more than 20 million AT&T customers. They accuse the company of nickel and diming them after the merger. Verizon Communications says it's getting out of the phone book business by the end of the year. The company will instead focus on its wireless broadband and television stations. For the second time this week, oil prices briefly rose above $75 a barrel, but they settled today at $74.09. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 135 points, NASDAQ down 25, S&P 500 down 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
by calling 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Your voice is useless until you use it. And now, your Trans Global hosts, John Fox and Bruce Birch.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Fourth Estate here this weekend. We had a weekend off, so Bruce and I are ready to rock and roll. Bruce, you up there, buddy, up there in North Carolina?
I certainly am, and I'm actually on cam tonight, John. I'm actually broadcasting, oh, yes, and I'm wearing clothes this time, though.
What, are you not the
That's
last
funny.
One? That's a real scary thought.
As long as I'm wearing clothes from the neck up, I'm okay, right? Because that's all you can see on the cam. But yes, I am up here, John. It's been an amazing day today. I had just, you know, and at some point we'll talk about it. But I spent the day with a bunch of justice activists, and it was just fantastic. So I'm all geared up to do some Fourth Estate Radio tonight, man. This rocks.
Right on, man. Well, you know, we decided last week after just a monumental week at the Horn that everybody just really needed a bit of a weekend off. And since we were the only ones going live last week with Joe in transit, we just thought, you know, just let's be dark. And it was good. It was good. And you did some pretty neat stuff for Independence Day for replacement streaming this week, which I thought was some great stuff. All those voices of freedom. I love that stuff. It was great, man.
It was fantastic. But it was great, and you know, it inspired me greatly. I mean, I was the one running the stream and spewing out all of the voices there down the tubes. that's what that moron in the Senate there, Ted Stevens, calls the internet. By the way, folks. It's a series of tubes, but the one that I liked the best, actually, of all those speeches was the one with Martin Luther King. It's the one he gave the night before he died, and he talks about organized labor, and he talks about how a people can, you know, wrest control of its economic future away from those that are not, you know, in its operating in their best interest. And I think those are lessons that we definitely need to heed today.
No doubt, no doubt. And that there were a couple of kind of I thought you threw a couple of slightly controversial ones out there as well. Trying to think of how to say this even right. There was the one Malcolm X that you aired that particularly I found just fascinating to listen to, man, because there's this perspective.
You know, democracy.
I just really enjoyed. Go ahead.
Democracy is not a pristine thing. Although Joe Biden would probably like for you to believe that it is. You know, with every hair in place and every button buttoned and every tie tied. Democracy is the people who have shaped this world that we live in often have done it at the barrel of I don't want to say by the barrel of a gun, but have done it through very militant actions, and I think that they deserve as much respect. And erring, in my view, anyway, as the ones who have done it through legislative power.
Mm. And you know what? We're gonna talk about peaceful movements a little bit later, because something that hasn't really crept into the Iraq dialogue that had crept into to other conflicts dialogue is the hunger strike has reared its head again. But we're gonna save that for a little bit later and whatnot. We got audio. We're going to revisit a little bit of stuff that you were bashing on your show this week and a little bit of stuff that...
Well, I covered a lot of stuff.
Bob last night, man, that because I'm sorry, Cindy Sheehan is just amazing to me. What this woman can subject herself to and stay... Was it Bob that said she has a peanut butter personality or a peanut butter cookie personality or whatever it was? It's just, you know, I want to revisit that audio only because I didn't have a microphone to scream down yesterday as I was listening to Bob, because there were just things in there that really, really say, hello, welcome to fascism.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have had just an astounding amount of great programming this week. We really have. But I'm glad we're back live tonight, John. Yeah, I know we took a break last week, but it's cool to have this. I love the dynamic, the thing we do together, because it's really unmatched. I haven't heard, I don't know of any other radio program that sort of does the back and forth that we do, in the manner that we do it. So, you know, I'm glad that we're back tonight, and, you know, yeah, it's no holds barred, man. You know, it's not, this is not, again, democracy is not a tidy thing, and we're not going to try to present it as such here either, are we, buddy?
No. And you know, we're gonna go out and take our first break here in a minute, man, and probably come back in with I feel Zappa music coming when we come back. But you know, we're gonna start getting into some individual stuff. And we might start off, wanna crack into some of the audio that we've got first, maybe get into the you had a little bit of a Biden thing, and we might get into some of that stuff first. So as usual, we're chatting at the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Go over there, dive in, sign up, dive in the pool, say hello to the kids. And we're streaming at the White Rose Society. Ben's still running his fundraiser, so cruise on by, because I reckon he's got to be getting close. Things were looking pretty good, but we want to send him right over the edge.
Financially.
Yes. We're not talking... Limbaugh vacations here. Anyway,
oh my goodness. Oh man. Have Viagra, we'll travel, right? What the hell?
Is that a broom?
Old Limpy.
Now let's just go out to a break. Let's just pull it. See, we were off air for a week, mate. See what happens here? See what happens? Okay, we got it. We're going to go out to a break. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network with Network with John Fox and Bruce Birch. The Newtwork. We're going to be back with you in a bit. We're just going to talk about some more lunacy. We'll see you on the other side.
Listen, not only we have the founding fathers and mothers, now we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, Sarah.
It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I sent you an email. You haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
Both of you are a total cap.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to retreat to my bar. Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons.
Oh, God, the world's first bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So, do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Birch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
All right, you're back on Fourth Estate Radio. Ha ha! What a song! And that was actually written back in the '80s. Believe that, I mean, it's like so prophetic. That's Frank Zappa, folks. You know, Reagan was in power at that time. I just find that to be totally funny as hell. Just the idiot, the father's a Nazi. It's crazy. It is just too much. But we were talking about getting into some audio clips, I think, John, weren't we?
Yeah, man. You first, when we had a little chat pre-show, you were talking about Joe Biden just sometimes doesn't know how to make friends, does he?
No, well, he knows how to make friends. He just doesn't know how to keep them. And apparently... Agnes, if you have that Joe Biden clip, if you could go ahead and run that, we want to hear this Indian American clip.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
He's not joking either.
Did
you hear that,
Joe? Yeah, I'm not joking, Joe. You're a Nalban. I mean, come on. This guy,
you're a Nalban,
you know,
Joe.
I used to say that he was, you know, he spoke a great game until he lost his spine at the vote, but it's starting to go work back into what's coming out of his mouth now, if that's what's coming out of his mouth. Because at least he used to say the right thing. But I'm sorry, man. You cannot say this kind of stuff, you know.
Does it bother you, John? Tell me how you really feel, John.
It's just so stupid on so many levels. And I mean, in the fact that he didn't kind of I'm surprised, you know. I would backtrack now. I'm a little speechless, except for the fact that I'm just kind of like, jackass. And
there you go. There you go. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're making progress, John. All right.
Okay. Segue then into something that we... yes, diarrhea of the mouth, but the other problem is constipation of the brain, Agnes.
Yes.
Now, isn't that what they used to say about Summerall, the old NFL host?
Yes.
No, not Summerall. I'm sorry. Summerall was cool. It was anyway.
John Madden.
Yeah. But, just... I was talking on the phone with you earlier.
You were?
It's getting to the point. Yeah, I was, wasn't I?
Was that you? Okay, yeah, it was. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was the other crazy wacko down there from down under. you know, you're throwing me, man. Okay, this is here. Biden is one of my favorite examples of bogus Democrats. Now, I'm really angry about the fact that I'm hearing that Barbara Boxer, my senator, who I stand up and cheer for and have said should be a nominee for vice president possibly, is backing Lieberman in his with the Democrats, and I'm going to go as an independent because I'm a lame-ass kind of halfway Republican, you know? And I'm really upset about this. She and Biden are backing Joe Lieberman when the party and the people don't? Excuse me?
Well, there's only one thing that we can say to that, John. Oh, only one thing. You know what that is?
What? Thank you. I'm just, you know, I've already emailed my senator. This really, really almost shot me out of bed when I heard it on the news the other day. You know, she's been long standing, has a great record, but I'm telling you right now, that was not a good move.
No, it certainly wasn't.
Not a good move.
Although, it sounds like to me that someone had a conniption when they heard about it. I don't know. It's just there was some air blown there.
Yeah. And this is what I'm wondering. What do you think of the concept of what? I kind of wish we could do what's possible in some other democracies, where you can have a vote of no confidence in your government.
Sign me up. I'm down with that. I think there's a way to do that. I think it's called, first of all, it's called vote the, you know, we don't, I don't, I'm not aware of any, and maybe anyone who's a constitutional scholar can correct me on this. I'm not aware of any federal way that we can actually have a recall of a candidate, which would be the only way that I would think of. Now, I know in California they obviously do because they pulled Gray Davis out. And maybe in some other state constitutions, but I'm not sure of anything in the federal constitution that provides for pulling people from office by popular uprising, besides perhaps impeachment.
This, what I'm starting to wonder, you know, and this is not me wanting to be old Doomsday or Foxy over here, but,
Foxy,
you know, are we getting to the point where the kind of corruption and influence and fear of rocking the boat is so inbred now that we need to just gut it, get them all out of there, just dump the lot of them, and hold fresh elections, and get a completely fresh set of bodies, and like have some criteria that you couldn't have been part of a previous government since, you know, in at least an administration or something.
At least 150 years. That would pretty much narrow out most everybody. I say all the politicians go back to work and all the workers go to being politicians. What do you think about that, John?
Well, I want it to become a public service again. You know, I mean, back, you know, the founding fathers, if you decided to become president, it wasn't supposed to be a lifelong goal, really. It wasn't supposed to be a lifelong vocation to be a politician. The idea was is that you'd step out of private life, go into public service for a time if elected, work for the people at a comfortable enough rate of exchange, and once that's done, you go back to your private life and become part of the community. It's now become a feeding frenzy in K Street's the way that it comes through. But we're right up on top of this break here, Bruce, so we ought
another
to take
break?
It and... Another break?
This hour is... This show is flying by at breakneck speed.
breakneck speed. Ha, ha, ha. Here we come. So anyway, Bruce and I will be back. My mouth is dribbling because I'm eating some really, really nice ardent biscuits here. And we'll be back. We're going to talk about the hunger strikes. We're going to talk about, the demand for organic food is exceeding the supply. And this goes to just prove things that I was talking about last week on my show. So anyway, Bruce, we'll be back right after this. You can get in on the program at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. This is John Fox. That's Bruce Birch. And we'll be right back. Arf, arf.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready?
But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way.
You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio for another Saturday night. John Fox here in Sydney, Australia. Bruce Birch up in Greensboro, North Carolina on the Head On Radio Network. Bruce Birch, where were we? Where are we going?
Well, I just sort of wrap up the little last topic we were talking about. One of our, you know, this is what I love about having the chat room, is that we have people in there who are interested in what we're, you know, not only are they interested in what we're talking about, but they have little things that they're doing as well to try to create a groundswell of support to run the bums out of D.C. And Saren, or Saren, Saren, perhaps S-A-R-E-N in the chat room, Saren, put up a link called, it's www.unity08.com, unity08.com, and if you go to that website, you can actually go there and sign the Declaration of Independence, and it's actually a really interesting website. I was just looking over during the break, but you can go in there and sign the Declaration of Independence and look at some of the blog, some of the posts. There's actually some blog posts that you can comment on there, and actually, I think what they're going to do is they're going to be delivering the Declaration of Independence to the leaders of Congress on Monday. So today and tomorrow, you know, get this out to people, email it, get them to go and sign it.
Right on. That Unity, looks really, really cool.
That's www.unity08.com. Fantastic. I just found out about this. I'm surprised I hadn't heard anything about it. So, but during the break, I put my Hancock on there. So,
Well, there you go, man. There you go. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but it's just kind of in the no duh category. Ann Coulter won an award this week, but just don't go jumping out of your chair yet. Coulter wins Sitting Duck Award, last awarded to columnist who made up 43 people. conservative firebrand and
this was supposed to be a factual story, and they made it fiction just because they made up 43 people.
Yeah, that's the last winner. Anyway,
this is I love journalism. I just love it.
Raw Story says conservative firebrand Ann Coulter was awarded the Sitting Duck Award by the National Society of Newspaper Columnists, who met in Boston this past weekend, reported by editor and publisher. The award, typically doled out in an ironic fashion, came with a statement from the Society that Coulter received the prize for cheapening political discourse in America. We awarded the lame duck reluctantly because we know Ms. Coulter is desperate for any kind of attention, the Society added. Ooh. According to a celebrity news group, Ann Coulter was mentioned and criticized several times by speakers in the National Society of Newspaper Columnists conference here. Then she received the NSNC's ultimate mention and criticism, winning the annual Sitting Duck Award for the easiest column target. The award last year went to Detroit columnist Mitch Albom and Sacramento Bee columnist Diane Irwin. Irwin was fired and last excoriated by her paper for fabricating 30 people in 27 columns. Investigators randomly sampling pieces from Irwin's 10-year career could not account for 13 people in an additional 10 columns. So it just goes to prove what we know. And I love those kind of stories. Anyway.
Coltergeist. That's her name, Coltergeist.
She's a freak, and I like the fact that they almost thought about not giving it to her just because they didn't want to give her any more airtime than she already gets.
The woman is just, she is a freak. She's a freak. She's totally a freak. Totally a freak.
Absolutely. Now, okay, we slammed on Biden. We've called her under the rug, gone. Along the lines of, where I'm saying, complete an utter lack of confidence in our government that we have here. Common Dreams reports has a little story, just Democrats versus the peace movement. The U.S. Congress failed in recent weeks to take symbolic steps to encourage a withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, even though a majority of Americans support an end to the war. Many anti-war advocates are hoping that the midterm U.S. elections in November will push the Congress into Democratic hands and thereby increase the chance of ending the war. But the problem is that we have way too many Democrats who are not voicing this, man. And I'm just worried, you know, and Anthony said it on my show last week, you know, he's not convinced that the Democrats getting in is going to change things very much.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. And I'll tell you why, John, because the ones who are leading the pack are actually really Republicans. They just they're Republicans. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, I know that we need to get behind Democratic candidates, but you know, because if we do have any chance in hell of changing the course that we're on right now, it has to be through an opposition party. But what I would like to put forth is the idea that, you know, we have to reinvent the Democratic Party. You know, and we've talked about this before. But we, you know, the way to do that is by going to the county. You know, everyone needs to go to their county Democratic Party meetings and get elected to posts and start, you know, pushing forth a progressive agenda and get these guys out of Washington. I mean, you know, it's going to take a while. So the only go ahead.
I was going to ask, did you happen to catch Ring of Fire this morning? Because this was very much what Papantonio was on about in his thing, where he was actually telling the Democrats to give up on the Deep South, the five states that are just completely lost. And he said that there is a progressive movement, and he says he doesn't care where it comes from, whether it's from the Democrats or whether it's from everyone who's sick of the rest of them, because there's Republicans who are progressives in ways, and then there are Democrats where the progressive cause is not being put forward.
Well, when we have first of all, we need to get out of Iraq, and anyone who comes up with the idea that we can't very well do that because we're there now and we have to be, you know, the reasoned tones. I think part of the problem is that we have too many reasoned tones. Now, I know I'm sounding very revolutionary tonight, but part of the problem, I believe, and this may come from some of the speeches I heard the other day, John, I swear, but I listened to these folks, and I thought to myself, when have we heard a speech spoken like Martin Luther King? Since when have we heard anything along those lines that inspired a nation to progressive change? We haven't.
No, not by anyone sitting or running for office, no.
And following that line of reasoning, you know, it's time, you know, I mean, we really got to push forth the idea that it's time for radical change again. The neocons have created radical change, you know, and if we say we have to be reasoned about that, if we say we have to be reasoned about opposition to them, they're not reasoned in what they've done. And they have radically changed society in a much more, dare I use the word, fascist way.
Well, I mean, I think you know, there is no doubt that we are finally into fascism. I think that there's no doubt about it. It's there. That whole episode, which we'll get to the audio later, you know, Cindy Sheehan, you could not say some of the things as this supposed presenter, news person was saying, unless you were able to work under the delusions of fascism, because they were outright lies. But we'll get into that.
And you know what?
Later.
And that stupid book of hers is on the bestseller list. I think it's like number two or number three. I saw that on the New York Times bestseller list. I couldn't believe it.
There are ways of cheating at that, Bruce. I know because it's the same as the record industry. There's ways and ways of cheating at that, and all you have to do is buy mass copies early on through cover companies and whatnot, and then give them away for free, like at churches and at political rallies and things like that. But you can knock something straight up the list with an initial buy pre and right at release. You can actually do it easy.
I know, but even with that, John, that, you know, the other part of that too is to keep in mind that there are people out there, and I've read some of these posts from these folks who revere her and revere Michelle Malkin and revere, you know, these people who spew this hate, and I can't help but think that these very same people were the ones who were fire hosing the African Americans back in the 60s. They're cut from the same cloth. They're the same ones who will you know show up at some of these truth and justice rallies with designs. Well, they're the same people who murdered the five people here in Greensboro in 1979. You know, they're still around, and they will always be around because their job is to what? Their job is to hate.
Absolutely. Well,
you know, speaking of hate,
hate. Yeah, please go on.
Yesterday, I talked about this briefly. I want to run this clip for anyone who didn't hear this. This guy's name is Jack Strain, and he is a sheriff in St. Tammany's Parish. In Louisiana, I think it's just right on the other side of Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans. And this guy went on a TV interview and for three solid minutes, or almost four solid minutes, spewed more hate than I have heard in a very, very long time. And I think there was a short clip that I wanted to play. This is just an example of some of the stuff. Agnes, if you have that little short clip, if you could play it, please.
Now, I don't get into calling people names and all of that fact, but if you're going to walk the streets of St. Tammany Parish with dreadlocks and chee-wee hairstyles, then you can expect to be getting a visit from a sheriff's deputy.
In other words, if you're black and you're in St. Tammany's Parish, it's, you know, expect to be harassed by the police for being black. I mean, it can't get any plainer than that, can it, John?
That's, I, you know, when your show airs, it's morning and early coffee time for me here. And, I mean, I woke up and instantaneously had a headache hearing this guy basically say you are going to be arrested for doing anything while black in his parish because we don't want your kind here. And, man, that's just, you know, talk about getting, you know, I start hearing the banjos. It's getting really, really, really kind of scary and backwards, you know.
It really is.
What era are we living in, man?
I think if it were up to those who are in government right now, we would be living in the 1950s again because that's what they want. They want to return the women to the kitchen, they want to return the blacks to the plantation, and they want to return the liberals to, somewhere underground, I guess, is the best way to put it. I know we got to take a break, though.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and do that, and we'll come back and we'll hit the phones before we hit the top of the hour. You listen to Fourth Estate Radio with Bruce Birch and John Fox, and if you want to get in on the show, you can avail yourself of free speech also by dialing 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be right back.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, The quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
Everybody, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio. John Fox down here in Australia in upside down land. Bruce Birch right side up. Oh man, just makes you want to dance, man.
Dance, dude. I'm getting the guitar out. Anyway, dude, this guy, this freaking. Oh my god! And there's another one out there. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. This freaking Mike Church guy. We got to talk about him because he is a freak of the highest order. But I know we want to go ahead and get over to the phones real quick and take care of a phone call. I think our good friend Luke from K Patch Vegas is on line one. Luke, how you doing, man?
Hi guys.
G'day, Luke. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I tell you what, I enjoyed the other night listening to the Lamont Lieberman debate. That was pretty good. I tell you what. Mr. Lamont looks a little bit raw, but that's okay. I think that's part of the charm, is he didn't look 100% polished. But you know what?
You think the polish is starting to...
In other words, he didn't look blow-dried, right?
Well, he didn't look like he had every answer already typed out for him sitting there on the desk for him. You know what I mean? He answered like a person. It's a shameful thing that seems fresh and new to us.
Well, you know, and it probably I would venture to guess that Joe Lieberman had his pals over at the NSA bug Lamont to make sure that he knew everything he was going to cover, so that he had everything typed out on his podium.
I know. I tell you, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, maybe it was just the last election cycle I remember, but you know, I used to remember when the people in Congress didn't get involved in the primaries. You know, they waited till after the primaries were decided. Then they said they might say good luck to both of you, but that was it. They didn't say, you know, I'm going to pick such and such over such and such. You know, you stand back and say, wait, let's let them settle it out, and then we'll support whoever's picked.
Yeah, I mean, what is this having to influence the people's choice or hijack the people's choice? I mean, I think this whole thing with Boxer and Biden backing Lieberman just absolutely has me furious. I can't even explain to you how furious I am about it.
Well, you know, it's like the thing, what was it, a cycle or two ago, you know, when Frist went up and supported the guys, the guy that was in the the former head of the Senate. Oh, shoot, my mind just totally went blank on me. I'm sorry about that. Up in, was it North Dakota? You know, where they had the election up there, and they went up there, and they were interfering in it. Not illegally, but you know what I mean? They were up there campaigning where normally they'd never campaigned before, you know, before it got to that point. When it was Daschle, you know, when they were involved in that thing last time.
Right.
But, no,
Go ahead, man.
Okay. One thing is, did y'all hear Bob play this thing the other night with Ted Stevens? I now don't understand what the term gibbering idiot means.
Oh, but yeah, no kidding.
The internet's a bunch of tubes, man. It's a bunch of tubes, man. It's totally tubular.
Well, the thing that gets you, amazes me, is half these people voting on this net neutrality have no clue what they're talking about. They don't even know what they're being told. I mean, you know, where's the DNC out there saying, you know, guys, we have some people who can answer some questions, tell us, and we'll let, you know, we'll put you in touch with them. You know, we'll let you talk to somebody that can tell you what the heck this is all about.
And what really got under my skin worse than anything, Luke, was that he came up and he said there has been no documented instances of any company thwarting internet neutrality, which was an absolute lie because Comcast did it with regards to Craigslist.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, and they caught to it. Things where they've done it, we just haven't caught it. You know what I mean? On minor ways.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are, but it's one of these things.
Well,
where,
you know,
that's a large danger.
I was going to say a large part of what we do, we use the service Vonage. Well, that's going to impact us greatly if, for some reason, one or another of our internet providers decides that it wants to start blocking out Vonage ports.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one thing I do not understand why, and you know, mainly, I'm just thinking that through the DNC, why they are not providing people connecting to the representatives and the senators, connecting them to people in the internet who know what this is about. You know, it can tell them here's what it is from the working side. You know, the people who are dealing with it, like you all who are dealing with it day to day, and they should be giving them your number, say what's the problem, and you should be, you know, they should be asking you all what's the real story behind this.
Absolutely, and I actually got a friend of mine who has been involved online since the beginning of the internet, public internet. He and I got into a conversation, and I got really upset with him because he says, "Oh, you know, when no matter what they do, the internet will find a way to survive, and you know, virtual private networks, rah-rah-rah," started referring to the IRC chat thing that happened a couple years back and all that. And I just said, "But that's not the point. It's about me. It's about the universal access." And like, I got really upset that, you know, here, you know, he was just kind of like brushing it off as though, "Oh, you know, we'll find a way around it."
Well, you know, it's like explaining to him on radio. Heard somebody explain it, and we started talking about it. And I said, it's like, say, imagine if you had a 100,000 watt station and you had a 5,000 watt station. And who do you think is going to get more coverage? I said, that's essentially what this is. Is you know, it just depends how much speed is the same thing essentially in this as transfers over to like coverage. How much power can you transmit? You know, I mean, if you want to explain it to somebody so they understand it. But you know what I mean? Speed's the same thing in that respect. Is if they limit you to a slower speed or something, that's going to reduce your coverage. People aren't going to be able to hear you.
Yeah, and those times, and then just decide you've had too much traffic for the day. But we got to get out of here, Luke.
Okay. Y'all have a good evening.
Have a good one.
Great to have you on the show, Luke, man, and hope to hear from you real soon, my friend.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
All right, we're right on top of the news, man. I think we're about to run over. So you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio. It's Bruce Birch and John Fox back live this weekend with you, and we'll be back, and I think we might talk about hunger strikes. We'll see you right after this.
This is the Quality News Network. The FBI and Homeland Security Department announced today that they uncovered a terrorist plot that targeted New York's underground tunnels. The plot involved 8 suspects. One was arrested in Lebanon, and 2 others were taken into custody elsewhere. One official said the plot was still in its planning stages, and no operational steps had been taken. At the United Nations today, Japan began circulating a draft resolution calling for sanctions against North Korea. It calls for halting missile-related financial and technology activities with Pyongyang. But China and Russia remain opposed to that action, saying it will only make the situation worse. A vote on the resolution may not come until next week. In Britain today, the country observed 2 minutes of silence. That was to mark the 1-year anniversary of the London bombings that killed 52 people. An official warned that more attacks are being planned at home and abroad. In Israel, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is denying that a deal with the Palestinians is in the works. Earlier, an Israeli official suggested that if the Palestinians release an Israeli soldier and stop launching rockets, Israel will release some of its Palestinian prisoners. 7 more Palestinians were killed today, bringing the death toll over the last 2 days to 32 Palestinians and 1 Israeli. In Iraq today, 11 Shiite worshippers were killed and at least 55 wounded in 4 mosque bombings. And in Afghanistan, 1 soldier was killed and another wounded when militants ambushed a U.S.-led convoy. In Washington, the Pentagon says more than 1,000 soldiers were discharged from the Army last year for personality disorders. That comes the same week a former Army private who was discharged for the same reason pleaded not guilty to charges of raping an Iraqi woman and killing her and her family. A civil rights group says white supremacists are joining the U.S. military to receive the world's best combat training. The Southern Poverty Law Center says relaxed recruiting standards have made it easier for members to join. In New Jersey tonight, lawmakers are expected to vote on a new state budget that would end a nearly week-long government shutdown and allow Atlantic City's casinos to reopen. The Space Shuttle Discovery crew is now transferring thousands of pounds of supplies to the International Space Station. The mission has been extended by 1 day and is now expected to last 13 days. In Aspen, Colorado, a private memorial service will be held for Enron founder Kenneth Lay on Sunday.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
On Monday, Henry Paulson will be sworn in as a new U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's a former CEO of Goldman Sachs. The Labor Department reports payrolls rose by a disappointing 121,000 last month, while the unemployment rate remained at 4.6%. One economist blamed a slowing economy and rising energy prices. GM's board of directors voted today to discuss possibly joining forces with Nissan and Renault. A meeting could take place next Friday. Microsoft will be launching a rival to Apple's iPod later this year. Users will be able to use the device to download music without having to connect to a computer. Coca-Cola is reevaluating how it safeguards its trade secrets. Earlier this week, 3 people were accused of stealing trade secrets and trying to sell them to rival Pepsi. Singular is facing a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of more than 20 million AT&T customers. They accuse the company of nickel and diming them after the merger. Verizon Communications says it's getting out of the phone book business by the end of the year. The company will instead focus on its wireless broadband and television stations. For the second time this week, oil prices briefly rose above $75 a barrel, but they settled today at $74.09. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 135 points, NASDAQ down 25, S&P 500 down 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Norfolk Estate Radio. This is Conversation Radio, so ring Bruce and John on 18774 head on. That's 18774432366. Your voice is useless until you use it. Here's John and Bruce.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Hour 2 of 4th Estate Radio for another Saturday night here on the Head On Radio Network. I am John Fox in Sydney, Australia, and over there is my mate, Bruce Birch. Hey, Bruce.
Arf, arf.
Arf, 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 arf. Okay, man, I want to shift gears a little bit, if you don't mind, and as usual, we're chatting at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. Man, you can tell
that
we were
off air
for a week. No, 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 I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. It's all good, it's all good. And anyway,
sound effects are free.
This is what happens from two guys who were probably weaned on Looney Tunes as children.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, before, I think maybe I just want to start with revisiting some audio that Bob had played, and I don't even remember who the shill of a journalist supposedly is with Cindy Sheehan, but this interview has a few problems. And this is O'Donnell? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. This is the kind of thing where you watch this video and watch this woman completely push forward absolute falsehoods as though they're fact. And this is the illusion that someone lives under when you're living in a fascistic state. And I think it was even Joe Vecchio said on the phone with Bob the other day that fascism done well is when you're still able to drive your SUV and go home and watch your TV programs. That's fascism done well. And, I'm amazed at the strength of this woman. And then when the absolute lies about Hugo Chavez are just amazing. Go ahead and start running that clip, Agnes, please.
Cindy Sheehan is America's most outspoken anti-war activist. But does she speak for America or just the fringes? She's called President Bush the biggest terrorist in the world. And she stood side by side with socialist dictator Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Now she begins a two-month hunger strike to get the American people to join her mission to end the war. Welcome to Hardball, Cindy. Let me begin by asking you, Americans may hate the war, but they don't necessarily hate the president. How do you expect to get change by going around the world and trashing the president of the United States?
Actually, I don't hate the president either. And I don't trash the president. I trash the president's foreign policy, which is fundamentally and inherently wrong and immoral. And I don't tell people around the world anything that they don't know.
But you called him the biggest terrorist in the world, so you are trashing the president.
Well, he says a terrorist is somebody who kills innocent men, women, and children. And there has been over 100,000 innocent men, women, and children killed in Iraq on his orders.
Cindy, you have just begun a two-month hunger strike. Isn't this really just more of a publicity stunt?
No, actually it's not. It's a moral reaction to an immoral war. Thousands of people all over the world are joining us, and hunger strikes have proven to be effective tools in civil disobedience and changing policy.
But do you honestly expect Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld or the President of the United States to say, Cindy Sheehan is going on a hunger strike, and so I'm going to end this war?
Well, that would be nice, but what we're trying to do is also awaken consciousness in the United States and around the world to get more people out and active, because we know two-thirds of America disapprove of George Bush and his policies in Iraq, but I don't see two-thirds of America out protesting, riding their Congress people, and changing policy.
And more, quite frankly, do you see members of Congress, and you claim not to be in the fringes, to not be an extremist, and yet what members of Congress support you and your policy?
Well, really on both sides of the aisle. We have Ron Paul and Walter Jones, who are Republicans, who are outspoken critics of George Bush's policies. We have many on the other side, such as John Conyers, Charlie Rangel.
And in the Senate?
In the Senate, well, we would have many supporters in the Senate,
who?
John Kerry,
John Kerry supports an immediate withdrawal from Iraq. Did he tell you that?
His office is working on starting a withdrawal as soon as possible to have the troops home by the end of the year. I have talked to his office about that, and that's something he's trying to push in the Senate.
Well, in fact, the bill that Senator Kerry has proposed went down in flames in the Senate.
It did, but, you know, only, you know, in Vietnam, there was only a few senators at first, and then it turned around.
Let me challenge you on this, Cindy, because what you're calling for is, in fact, an extreme position, because there are very few members of Congress who support immediate withdrawal. You would, if you could, fly a bunch of planes over there, pick up all our troops, and take them home tomorrow, if you could, within your power. There is no one in the United States Congress, Democrat, Republican,
putting the words in her mouth.
Who would do that?
What's going on?
Actually, there are many members. There's an out-of-Iraq Congress that has 70 members that are calling for an immediate withdrawal. And we can't fly planes over and pick them all up tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it would take a few months, and it has to be as safe for our soldiers and as safe for the Iraqi people as possible, but it has to be as soon as possible.
You speak very passionately about your cause. You lost a son in Iraq. We honor his service and sacrifice. But you've been traveling the world, Scotland, Spain, Venezuela, Ireland, Australia, Austria. How does that help the cause when, again, you're around the world trashing the president, calling him a terrorist, calling him worse than Osama bin Laden?
Telling
how do you
the truth.
Honestly expect to affect change with that those types of remarks?
Well, it's really important, too, that the people in the world know that there are Americans on their side, because as anti-Bush sentiment goes up in the world, anti-American sentiment goes up also. And people, I've had hundreds of people around the world tell me, before you, we thought all Americans supported George Bush. And it's important for us people of different countries in different borders to reach out to one another to work to force our leaders to solve problems peacefully. And this is
so
really important.
So why don't stand side by side by Hugo Chavez in Venezuela? Why do that? I mean, it sounds like that. Would you rather live under Hugo Chavez than George Bush?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
You know, Hugo Chavez is not a dictator
infrastructure.
Like you introduced him. He's been democratically elected 8 times, and he's not anti-American.
Saying he's democratically elected.
Yeah, hold on a second. He is not anti-American. He has helped the poor people of America. He has sent aid to New Orleans. He has sold heating oil to disadvantaged people in America, in the United States of America, at low cost. And the people of this country love him. And for us to say that we have some kind of influence over Venezuelan policy is wrong. The people of Venezuela have elected him overwhelmingly 8 times, and it's his country, and it's their country, and they should have the leader that they deserve.
All right. Cindy Sheehan. Thank you.
Okay, and that's very good. And that last statement.
Okay.
You know, I'm done. These people are entitled to have that.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
I didn't hear you, John. Apparently you broke up.
Sorry,
anyway.
Man. Anyway, calling Hugo Chavez, a guy who's been elected 8 times with international oversight, might I add, you know, calling him a socialist dictator. And there's all this shoving words in Cindy's mouth saying, oh, you call for flying a bunch of planes over there and picking up all the troops and bringing them home right tomorrow. You know, it's just, this is when you know that the fringe is losing it. But I think there's 2 points here. The fringe is losing it on the right because they're really trying to write the script for Cindy and these people who are taking a socially conscious stand, right? I have nothing but respect for these people. And you know what? It may not play out with the Americans, but it may play with some of our allies. And India in particular. Because the hunger strike holds a certain amount of strength in a nation like India, where the government has stopped and taken notice. But some people talk about there being avatars, and Cindy is an avatar for change. It's not so much who she is, but what she represents.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? And the flip, the opposite is also true for that O'Donnell hag who just tried to, you know, claim to interview her. You know what blows me away about that, John, is I have not heard, I mean, that was desperate, complete desperate, God, did you hear? I mean, just the very, you've going around trashing the president. It's like, well, okay, O'Donnell, actually with this interview, you're trashing journalism.
Really? I mean, there was nothing founded in any of that kind of rapid fire spin in the guise of supposed an interview that was being thrown, because it was all everything was so loaded, it was just nonsense. And again, Cindy just blows me away with the fact that she can just hand back, you know, I want to know who her Zen guide is, whatever it is, because man, I couldn't do that without absolutely losing my mind. I would have capped somebody upside the head with my hands at least once. You know, how she doesn't just reach across the table and go, you know what, come here. You go be through what I was through and have a son who served and all that and come back and talk to me. Biatch.
Oh my goodness! You didn't say it. You didn't. Oh, you didn't. You did, didn't you?
I said some broken three-worded thing. I didn't say anything bad. Anyway, I think what we're gonna do, Bruce, is we're gonna take a little bit of a break, and then when we come back, we're gonna play a little bit of music, and we're gonna just take a little bit of time out and think about the cost of war and those who take a stand. So, if you want to start running some music there, Agnes, I don't want to let them make little of what Cindy Sheehan and those who are standing with her are doing. And it means a lot more to people outside of the United States than it seems to us. And beware of that power. I think that this could have the change if we make sure that the focus stays on why they're doing it. So Bruce and I will be straight back here on Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello, this is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, Call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
All right, you're back on Fourth Estate Radio here on the Head On Radio Network with your pals John and Bruce, and this is Bruce, and that is.
Oh man, I never heard Zappa do this one. anyway, actually, because that's all fun. Man, that really cracked me up. Anyway, before we're gonna get a little serious, but we're gonna do a little bit of music and do all that kind of thing. But that actual last track is a really kind of an interesting track. That is Tool's eulogy to Kurt Cobain, and the lyric is basically he had a lot to say, he had a lot of nothing to say. We'll miss him, but he sure could yell. Is the basic lyric, and it's Tool playing Tool-esque Nirvana. It's a very, very funny song when you listen to the way it's put together. It sounds like a stereotypical Nirvana tune, but played by Tool. It's really kind of funny. But anyway, let's talk about Michael Hedges, who we're going to, and I'll get into why I'm playing this track in a minute, but this is another one of those guys that falls into the category. You and I and a few people out there know who this gentleman was, but I don't think he became as a household name as I think he should have been, you know, a decade, 15 years ago.
Yes, Michael Hedges was pretty amazing. And actually, you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most interesting things about John and myself is that, you know, we started talking about stuff way back when we first were talking about doing a show together. And I just happened to one day. Was I playing some music or something, John? And you went, and you were like, "Oh my God, that's Hedges" or something. It was just
yeah. You played some. I think you played Aerial Boundaries or something when you were like DJing after a show in the old days. And I just about fell out of my chair because I heard Michael Hedges coming down. And you know, he was a unique acoustic guitar player, but he also played things like harp guitars, which was like a 6 or a 12 string guitar with kind of like a mutated body, and it had like a 5 to 7 string bass harp on it. And most of his early stuff was recorded direct to 2-track, no overdubbing, sometimes maybe with a fretless bass player, and it just some of the most organic compositional music, because he didn't even call himself a guitarist. He called himself the composer, and guitar just happened to be the vehicle that he got his compositions out with.
Amazing musician. I saw him, let's see, 3 times, I think. Yes, I did. I saw him 3 times. I saw him in Knoxville, Tennessee, Luke, at the Tennessee Theater down there downtown. I saw him in Buffalo, New York, at a place called that wasn't it. I can't remember what the name of the place was, but it was a little cabaret. And I saw him again at a place called Be Here Now in Asheville, North Carolina, a 1 month before he died, way back when. So tragic death, This was a man who didn't drink, didn't use drugs. He was very health conscious, did a lot of yoga, you know, was way big into smoothies when when doing smoothies wasn't cool. The neat thing about him was his spirit. I guess that's the best way to put it, is that the man's spirit, he carried himself he lived and he walked peace. I mean, that was just who he was. So
he was a really graceful guy. I only got to see him live really the one time, and he was supporting Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Sunken Gardens Theater, San Antonio, Texas, and it was the first time he had played in Texas ever. And there was just this audience just completely stunned at what they saw, this barefoot, bell-bottom wearing, incense stuck in the head stuck of his guitar with a little headset mic on, you know, guy. And he's just, you know, and having like an orchestra
sweating like a pig.
What I thought was like one of the most amazing compliments I've ever seen given musically was, you know, Michael does his thing, floors the audience, a whole bunch of people have been sent home with something to think about. And so then Crosby, Stills, and Nash come on, and I can't remember what they opened with, but it was one of these things, you know, it started off with Graham at the piano, and then one by one they all walked on. And just as the three of them come together and you're waiting for the first chorus and the band's going to kick in, they stop dead. And they just said, "What did you think of Michael?"
Yeah.
And, like, well, took a minute, praised him, and then without, like, having felt like they stopped, just went bang straight to the chorus and went on with the show. But I was just like, now that's giving a huge, you know, hat tip, eh?
Sure, absolutely. And the other cool thing about Michael Hedges, and this is sort of a personal thing, is that when my first wife, I've been married twice. That's now public knowledge, I guess. When my first wife and I were together, you know, she was pregnant with my son, and when she was pregnant with my son, who is now 14 years old, that show that we went to. Was I think he was probably about 2 months away from being born, so she was pretty pregnant. And he was a kicker in the womb. He liked to kick around, and he was a little soccer guy, you know. But when we went to the concert, I'll never forget that night, because the whole day he was just all upset, you know, and kicking around and doing, you know, just every time I'd look at her, she was like, ooh, ooh. But during the whole show, you know, she just, you know, he relaxed, apparently, just, I guess he dug the music, because he just, the whole night, you know, while we were there listening to the show and having a good time there, he was not to make a peep. But I wanted to say that mainly because, you know, this is the kind of music the guy played, was that, you know, he could even calm down rowdy kids in the womb. So.
Oh, yeah. And he also, you know, he did great adaptations of other people's stuff. You know, he played great homages to the Beatles and whatnot, and also had an amazing sense of humor within his music, because there's if you go and hunt down, I think, the primer, if you're going to go and get something, and you might, you know, have a different opinion, but I say Live on the Double Planet, because it's those selected tracks of him, either live or live, you know, out of the studio, you know, or in the studio, that just showed how he was just this spontaneous, organic thing. So, yeah, why don't we go and play this? We're going to play a track called Holiday. And at the end, you're going to fall into something that you'll recognize. And I think this, I don't know, close your eyes and listen to this beautiful piece of music as it slides into something that'll catch your ear, and just think of all the people who've been lost through this conflict and those that are possibly going to put their lives on the line to bring some attention to it. So without further ado, Michael Hedges and Holiday.
Let the children wave their sparklers through the sky. It's a holiday, but if the fuses get too short, they won't ask why. They won't ask why.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights, meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism,
and that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts,
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
All right, you're back on Fourth Estate Radio with the two wackiest guys in radio, Oh, Bruce and John!
Oh, man, thanks for that track, Agnes. Kind of needed that. I'm still shaking off the hedges thing, but thank you, Michael. That's all I can say. Thank you.
My God, yes. You know, I listened to that, and I got to tell you, man, it brought tears to my eyes again. I swear. I could listen to his music. God, just... I miss him terribly. I saw him three times in concert. Had the opportunity when he was in Knoxville to actually spend some time with him privately, and it just a beautiful, wonderful spirit. Beautiful, wonderful spirit. You know, just so people know, Michael Hedges is no longer with us. He did pass away in 1997 in a single car accident on the highway from San Francisco International Airport to his home in Monterey, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, and I'm still having trouble holding it together here.
And if you want to find out more about him, go to nomadland.com. nomadland.com, and that's the website for his that is still being maintained. It's still up. I guess almost 10 years now that there have been dedicated fans on his message boards, and just he's just a wonderful guy.
And if you're an adventurous guitar player, most of the tablature for his stuff is there. And this guy was a knob-twisting maniac. And I'm telling you, some of the tunings are so out there, but they're such great lateral explorations that and in fact, I'm like, about a week or so ago, I was just at the website and went and got the tablature for Aerial Boundaries, which his early stuff was all that beautiful atmospheric stuff. Some of it was very, you know, like arrhythmic, but it was, you know, Breakfast in the Field and all those things were just, you could close your eyes and you were in these places.
Just
great stuff. So please, you know, I know that he had no health insurance when he died, and he did leave an ex-wife that he had was on good terms with, and a young boy, I do believe, unfortunately,
kids, couple boys.
What was it? Was it a couple of boys?
Right. Yes.
I was in Germany when he passed.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, please check him out, because I mean, a lot of the stuff is just such happy, wondrous stuff, and Taproot, he got into a little bit more production and synthesizers and things, and you know, he was just an amazing character. And then to follow along all laterally to the different people that he worked with, what was the record label?
He was on Windham Hill, yeah, for a long time.
Right, and that was all that beautiful stuff. All kinds of different new age guitar players, pianists and stuff. And that new age category is really bizarre, but it was just kind of people that took it slightly outside of the mainstream and very just natural kind of, it's just very real stuff. Anyway, we should move on, and that just goes out to, you know, civilian, military, activists, everybody who's been lost in this conflict, so... Where should we go to from here, mate?
Boy, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Yeah, where do we go from here? I would almost say take another break, but that's not fair to our listeners, is it? Not at all.
No.
Okay,
I have the closer to this whole thing, okay? And why I'm saying that a hunger strike, yes, the right is going to play this as being some sort of leftist nut job publicity stunt, okay? From the Independent, back in April 2006, there's just one story here. This is just an example of what happens in Indian society. From a hospital bed, a starving woman has brought the biggest infrastructure project in a booming India to its knees. The Supreme Court has ruled that the work on a massive dam on the Narmada River cannot be completed unless thousands of people whose homes will be flooded are relocated and rehabilitated. It was a victory for protesters who included the Booker Prize-winning novelist Andrati Roy and Bollywood movie star Azmir Khan, but mostly it was a victory for a woman who went on a hunger strike for 20 days to draw attention to the plight of those living in the shadow of the dam. Medha Patkar is the most famous human rights activist in India, but when she and fellow activists began a hunger strike in Delhi in March, it was dismissed as just a publicity stunt. Now, you have to remember, you know, Gandhi brought the world's largest empire to its knees with a hunger strike and peaceful means. And we have to not, you know... The rest, just, we gotta, you know, that American thing about, you know, butter the rest of the world. Well, the rest of the world really is starting to get fed up.
As well they should. And, you know, I spent the day today in a thing called the International Truth and Reconciliation Conference here in Greensboro, where they had participants from all over the world, and they were talking about various egregious human rights abuses that were visited upon these people who then initiated these truth and reconciliation movements because they got no justice from the justice system. You know, at some point there's going to be one huge truth and reconciliation commission developed aimed at us, you know, because of the human rights abuses that we have visited around the world. I mean, it just amazes me, man. I did a story yesterday, John, about, I think it was yesterday, about troops, about the white supremacist groups are on the upswing within the U.S.
Yeah,
military.
I heard you. Well, and that that makes complete sense. You know, if the general public is not supporting this, the young guys and gals are not going to sign up. And so you're going to have a smaller pool in which to draw from, and you're going to end up drawing more from the people that you normally wouldn't want. And they're screwed for bodies.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, they're absolutely screwed for bodies. So,
and so they're going to these white nationalist organizations to try to drum up their numbers. It's just it's repugnant. But what more can we expect from an administration, John, that operates on fear and hate?
Well, I tell you what, they keep this up, we're going to end up not just with Haji Girl, the rock and roll track, but Haji Girl, the rock and roll musical coming from these nut jobs over there, because they're going to end up feeding the problem.
Well, you know,
it's just nuts.
I think our producer says that she's got a clip from Glenn the Nazi Beck. Yes. Talking about Cindy Sheehan. Let's go ahead and listen to that. I haven't heard this, but let's go ahead and listen to that, Agnes.
You know, now that I've exposed the overall limpness of the Cindy Sheehan movement, which is not exactly the Viagra that people were hoping for, that were carrying peace signs and flowers, but I feel it's necessary, and this is really not as much necessary. Well, it is necessary strictly for your amusement. This is for entertainment purposes only. I feel it is important to tell you about the latest horrible PR stunt from Cindy Sheehan. Again, just for entertainment purposes. Cindy Sheehan, the tragedy pimp, as we like to call her, is going on a hunger strike. Surprisingly, they're not doing this because they, you know, want a follow-up book deal. They actually think that the press is not covering the true cost of war. And that's why she's going on a hunger strike. She's practically Gandhi in a pantsuit.
Okay, he's number three on my list. He's number three on my list. Where is he on your list, John?
Well, I tell you what, he's a small market guy, so I don't know, he'd be kind of knocked down a bit, but I just do, or is he a small market guy? That's just disgusting, you know?
This guy's on Headline News, John. He has a TV show on Headline News.
The semantics of reporting. Here we go. I am just... How... You know, it just shows how shameless this cause of theirs is. To take it to this kind of level. Where they can go after... You know, one thing would be if they ignored her. But they are obviously scared to death of her. Because... She's the real deal. I don't care how you cut it. She's the real deal. And like Bob was saying, you know, I reckon the same thing. You know, before all this happened, I reckon she was one of the most popular moms on the block and kind of like, you know, was, you know, just did her best to, you know, do her thing and have her family, and that's, she was happy with that. And to me, that's like, you know, family values all over the place.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the tragedy. The tragedy is that you know, these people are, you know, like Nora Donnell and or whatever the hell her name is, that that freakish right wing gas bag, and then there's this and then this guy that's Glenn the Nazi Beck. I'm using names on these people tonight, I guess, because I'm really fed up. You know, I've done my best to keep it clean most of the time. But I listen to these people, and they can't attack the ideas. They cannot bring anything to bear on the actual substance of the issues. So they turn around and attack these people who are really just looking to try to create a better society. That's all they're doing. You know, so it just, you know what? There is no shame in their game, and there shouldn't be in ours when it comes to dealing with them.
And that's so socialist, you know. And see, I actually think that there's also, you listen to what that guy says, he's slamming Gandhi. And that has to say something about the character of this Beck character. You know
he's
what I mean?
Nazi. I am
he's
a Nazi.
He's slamming, and, you know, all right. Before you start singing, I think Agnes should hit some break music so we can catch our breath now that we got back on the bicycle, man. We kind of lost the pedals there for a second, but all for the right reason. Please check out Nomad. It's nomad.com, is it?
Nomadland.
Nomadland.com, and you're with John and Bruce, and we'll be back to talk about more of this insanity on Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Place your hand on your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Across the night was the moon that stole my slumber. Across the night, I fell in love with people sleeping.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio. John Fox here in Sydney, Australia. Bruce Birch up there in North Carolina on the Head-On Radio Network. How you going, mate?
I'm going all right, mate. How you doing today?
Well, oh, all right. Well, I tell you what. Since we came in with a little bit of Silverchair, we'll do a little bit of Australian news here. And I got a little bit.
Wait. Is Skippy there?
Yeah, he's still hiding under the table. Because, well, I had to smack him because he made a mess after he saw this in the newspaper.
Oh, he did he?
Oh, well.
Not only do the kangaroos not only are they housebroken, or apparently not housebroken as the case may be, but they can also read the newspaper. This is getting to be this is kind of strange. I need to come down there, man.
I had a hard time after the show was canceled, and you know, a little bit too much of them, you know, drinking. You know, it's been tough on the guy, but he's trying. Anyway, now here, I want to tell a story about a guy who was really trying. No, man, you got to listen to this. This is classic.
I'm listening. I'm listening. You know. Walk this way.
Talk this way. Anyway, so
fire.
You know, in the States, you have your local shopper newspapers and stuff like that. The little local free papers that get thrown on your lawn and whatnot. Well, our local one here is the Weekly Times, and our friend at Machine Gun Keyboard renamed them TW small I capital T Twit. Now, this is a Murdoch publication. And so I usually don't pay much attention to this thing. I live in John Howard's district, right, where he supposedly reigns from. And so I don't pay much attention to it. But in the corner was a thing saying, JB goes one-on-one with Prime Minister, right? So I go, oh, okay, check this out. Well,
check it out.
So if you go to 12thharmonic.net, you'll see the most recent piece there. With my little bit of spin on it, says, this guy, it was the most pandering piece of fake journalism I've seen in a long time, and one of the worst things I've ever seen in Australia. Now, this guy goes through a whole bunch, this whole kind of, like, hand-licking thing of, oh, welcome, Mr. Prime Minister, I'm so glad that you have a grasp on free trade, because some people don't understand it, and they don't see its benefits, and all this kind of thing, right? Well, then he gets to this, and Howard couldn't even go here. Now, I talked about the Australian Wheat Board on and off over the last couple of months. You know, the guys that paid $300 million into Saddam's coffers to arm his boys to fire at Australian soldiers as we were talking about going into war with Iraq. This guy says,
John, I think we lost you there, buddy.
Uh-oh.
So say that again, whatever you're going to say. Say it again.
Sorry, man. So anyway, after this long, long-winded drivel about Howard understanding international free trade, he says, now let's talk about corruption. The Australian Wheat Board, don't you think that you ought to be nominating the former directors for knighthoods or something? They are the people who enabled our farmers to sell their wheat, admittedly with some commissions on the side. Excuse me, they broke UN sanctions to pay $300 million to Iraq, to Saddam himself. We know that this has been done throughout the world, all of Asia, Africa, and South America. You have to play the game if you want to do business in those places. But even Howard couldn't back him up on that. He says, you know, the inquiry is still going, and backed away. But I rang this guy's office, and I haven't gotten a response asking for an interview. I may have kind of played my cards too hard first out, just because I was so incensed. I will take a breath next time. But this was like the local media just being a self-serving mouthpiece, and so much so that even Johnny Howard couldn't go there. But not guys who broke UN sanctions, paying money into the coffers of the guy that we are going to war with, and he wants them up for knighthoods?
That's typical.
You know, these people, I swear to God, the more convictions you have, the higher you can rise in power, you know?
You know, I'd like to ask the family members of some of the Aussie troops that are deployed over there how they feel about the guys from AWB being put up for knighthoods, what they thought of that concept, because I think they probably wouldn't approve very much, you know? But that's just me. I don't know nothing. I'm a crazy lefty. Anyway, we're about coming up on the news, Bruce.
Crazy lefty!
Yes, crazy lefty, crazy lefty. So you are here on another Saturday night here, and it might be coming to be Sunday morning where you are. You're with John Fox and Bruce Birch on Fourth Estate
Radio.
Hey,
man, don't fart when you say my name, okay? I mean, that's just too much, man. No farting when you say my name, okay?
Hey, sorry, man. Sorry. My tongue got stuck.
John Fox.
You're a bad man, Bruce. You're a bad man. We're going to take this break, hit the news, come back, and how about light up them phone lines. Get in on the show at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Bark, bark.
This is a Quality News Network. The FBI and Homeland Security Department announced today that they uncovered a terrorist plot that targeted New York's underground tunnels. The plot involved 8 suspects. One was arrested in Lebanon, and 2 others were taken into custody elsewhere. One official said the plot was still in its planning stages, and no operational steps have been taken. At the United Nations today, Japan began circulating a draft resolution calling for sanctions against North Korea. It calls for halting missile-related financial and technology activities with Pyongyang. But China and Russia remain opposed to that action, saying it will only make the situation worse. A vote on the resolution may not come until next week. In Britain today, the country observed 2 minutes of silence. That was to mark the 1-year anniversary of the London bombings that killed 52 people. An official warned that more attacks are being planned at home and abroad. In Israel, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is denying that a deal with the Palestinians is in the works. Earlier, an Israeli official suggested that if the Palestinians release an Israeli soldier and stop launching rockets, Israel will release some of its Palestinian prisoners. 7 more Palestinians were killed today, bringing the death toll over the last 2 days to 32 Palestinians and 1 Israeli. In Iraq today, 11 Shiite worshippers were killed and at least 55 wounded in 4 mosque bombings. And in Afghanistan, 1 soldier was killed and another wounded when militants ambushed a U.S.-led convoy. In Washington, the Pentagon says more than 1,000 soldiers were discharged from the Army last year for personality disorders. That comes the same week a former Army private who was discharged for the same reason pleaded not guilty to charges of raping an Iraqi woman and killing her and her family. A civil rights group says white supremacists are joining the U.S. military to receive the world's best combat training. The Southern Poverty Law Center says relaxed recruiting standards have made it easier for members to join. In New Jersey tonight, lawmakers are expected to vote on a new state budget that would end a nearly week-long government shutdown and allow Atlantic City's casinos to reopen. The Space Shuttle Discovery crew is now transferring thousands of pounds of supplies to the International Space Station. The mission has been extended by 1 day and is now expected to last 13 days. In Aspen, Colorado, a private memorial service will be held for Enron founder Kenneth Lay on Sunday.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
On Monday, Henry Paulson will be sworn in as a new U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's a former CEO of Goldman Sachs. The Labor Department reports payrolls rose by a disappointing 121,000 last month, while the unemployment rate remained at 4.6%. One economist blamed a slowing economy and rising energy prices. GM's board of directors voted today to discuss possibly joining forces with Nissan and Renault. A meeting could take place next Friday. Microsoft will be launching a rival to Apple's iPod later this year. Users will be able to use the device to download music without having to connect to a computer. Coca-Cola is reevaluating how it safeguards its trade secrets. Earlier this week, three people were accused of stealing trade secrets and trying to sell them to rival Pepsi. Singular is facing a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of more than 20 million AT&T customers. They accuse the company of nickel and diming them after the merger. Verizon Communications says it's getting out of the phone book business by the end of the year. The company will instead focus on its wireless broadband and television stations. For the second time this week, oil prices briefly rose above $75 a barrel, but they settled today at $74.09. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 135 points, NASDAQ down 25, S&P 500 down 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together.
And you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio.
Just doesn't matter, 'cause
here on the Fourth, on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to be back with you.
Fourth Estate Radio. This is Conversation Radio. So ring Bruce and John on 1-877-4 Head On. That's 1-877-443-2366. Your voice is useless until you use it. Here's John and Bruce.
Sorry. Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. This is John Fox in Sydney and Bruce Birch up there in North Carolina. Anyway, Bruce.
You can do the rest of the show, man. I'm just going to go over and lay down right now.
No, man. You were so excited. You know, we were off for a week. You know, you're just ready to get right in there. And you know me, I like those long intros and let the music roll. What the... Yeah, Dingo's got my baby. What's going on in Mexico?
Well, let's see, electoral fraud, besides that, marches, hundreds of thousands of people taken to the streets. I think it's kind of exciting down there right now.
Well, that's what I kind of was wondering, too, because I heard, I think it was QNN yesterday said, that, you know, the left was calling for the people to take to the streets because they believe that the thing was ripped off. And I just again sit there and say, what is wrong with us?
Hmm.
You know, how many times has it happened to us? And they actually lived under one party rule for so long, had one set of democratically elected, you know, leaders, which was, you know, Vicente Fox and all that, and come round two, suddenly we're seeing all the same discrepancies with exit polls as we saw in 2000 and 2004 in the United States.
Too reminiscent, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's
It's almost spooky. Why is it that that as we've watched Latin America go to this much more socially conscious kind of democracy, going to the so-called left, that the most tightly aligns one with the Bush administration, when all the leaders that were kind of aligned with Bush when we went into Iraq and whatnot, the only one really left is Howard. Blair's lost his power pretty well. He's kind of a shadow of himself. You know, Spain's gone, Italy's gone, they're all out. So suddenly the closest border we've got, when it's been, you know, pretty well going to the left pretty clearly, suddenly, oh, we have all this, it's too close to call. At the last minute again, when the exit polls were saying otherwise. And, you know, I think it was the News Ninja had as the title of one of his posts, you know, "Where is Karl Rove today?" I thought that was beautifully put.
He's in the special Diebold Command Center that has been created under the White House.
And supposedly, Choice Point has, like, all the voter records of the Mexicans. And why is that? You know, like there's all this kind of very, very bizarre lateral connection stuff going on here. And, you know, I lived enough in the Mexican American community, man, that it's just kind of like, we're not going to quite sit back and take it the same way. You know, I think there's a little bit more of a revolutionary spirit in Latin America than in the United States, which is sad, because as far as I consider it, we are now like completely missing our constitutional duty by not having actually taken back control of this government. By now, it's so out of control.
Yes, we're sleeping. Now, you know, well, that, I mean, it's evidenced very much by what happened on May the 1st with all of the, you know, the immigrant marches that happened around the country. And you know, yes, they definitely do tend to be more socially, I should say, and also politically aware. And what bugs me about that election down there, though, and I don't know if you've read much on it, but you know, there's only out of 41 million votes cast, I think it was the number that I saw. It's separated by about 220,000. It's just over one half of 1% that separates these two candidates.
Now, weren't there also issues that in some districts they ran out of ballots and polls closed at like 3 p.m. and whatnot? That,
yeah,
you know, just there's some uncertainty whether everybody who wanted to even vote and rocked up got to vote.
And not only that, but there was also ballot boxes that were found in garbage dumps as well.
Right, you know, again in some election worker's car. Like I seriously felt like it was, you know, post 2004 all over again.
And you know, it was almost as if the call went out, okay, you know what, there cannot be a popular uprising, a popular leftist uprising, you know, to take Mexico, because then it would that's just too close to home for comfort, you know. The United States right now enjoys the United States and the elite establishment within the United States enjoys a wonderful relationship with the elite establishment of Mexico, and their economy is even worse than ours, in that their money being concentrated into a smaller percentage of the population is even much worse than it is here. So it's like, you know, it's like a little America down there, you know, as far as the free market economy. The free market economy stands for, we get to suck all the money out of the market freely.
Well, yeah, what's going on there, just, I don't know, it rings very, very interesting to me, because back, I have to really, really think about this now, but in the early 90s, I ended up going with a friend over to Mexico a few times in the researching the possibility of opening up a club in the United States with a Mexican family, right? And this is like long before Vicente Fox, and this is when they still had one party rule. And the young man who was the like son in the family, you know, when we went to one of their discotheques over the border, said they were trying to get as much of what they had. They were one of the last of the conquistador family, so they're trying to get as much as of what they had, still in cattle and all this stuff, over into the United States because they expected Mexico to fall within a couple of years, that it had gone way too far. But somehow they held on until they actually had real elections, got Fox in, and I don't think got exactly what they thought they were getting, and have learned that NAFTA is not necessarily free trade. But I think they may be setting up, it was almost just like putting the old cassette tape on pause for a few years, and I wonder if this is going to be just them going and starting over again, because if, I don't know, I think they were almost there. They were very, very close, and they avoided it. They avoided complete anarchy, which this family thought they were headed to.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think what we're going to see down there, and who knows what's going to happen in Mexico, but I do know today they had news reported 100,000, which means there's probably twice that. People
right.
who took to the streets, and Obrador is going to go to the elections board, I think tomorrow, I think it is tomorrow. Yeah, he's going to go there tomorrow and demand that all the votes get counted. See, because how they count the votes is they don't actually count all the votes. What they do is a precinct organizer or whatever counts the votes, locks the ballot box, and then has a ballot report that he or she then turns into the election authority. And Obrador is going to try to make them unlock all the boxes and count the votes individually.
Well, it sounds like a fair request to me.
Especially since it only took them, 24 hours to actually count all of the reports. If they can count all the reports in 24 hours, then let's look at the vote. I mean, you know, it could take them a couple of weeks, but let's make sure that the vote is fair, right?
Well, yeah, and see, this is where I think that the argument on against you know, recounts and all this just falls apart. What is your problem with having, you know, a safety valve in that says, even if there's no accusations of anything, if the vote comes down to being so close that it's within, say, a half a percentage point or whatever, that there is automatically, just to make sure, because we use these rounding efforts and whatnot to speed up the process, but then, you know, have a check and balance in place and have it be almost automatic so that it protects both sides. Like, I don't understand how you can even maintain the argument when it's just to make sure that the actual will of the people is put forward, or is that the actual desire of these people? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
I would think it just goes to, okay, we are human beings, so if it's that close, we should just make sure that we got it right. I don't know. It rings in the kind of duh category. But I tell you what, man, we got somebody waiting on the line, but we'll take a quick break and come back, and then Jim will come on, and I guarantee stir up the pot a little bit. What do you reckon?
I imagine he probably will, yes.
Right on. Well, Bruce and I are going to take a quick break, come back, go to the phones. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio here on the Head On Radio Network. Bruce and I will be right back.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary, Ryan, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into E-Cycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
In Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over 292 million ounces of $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
Listen to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network. I'm sounding kind of slow. It's my friend John who just now you just heard his voice. I think he's still over there. John, are you there, my friend?
It's
all right, John. So we were talking about the freaking Mexicans down there.
Well, just before we move on, the track that just played us in is a band called Timberwolf Bruce, and we're working on having
Timberwolf
these guys,
Bruce?
No. Bruce, the name of the band is Timberwolf.
Oh, okay.
And these guys have a bit of a political slant, seems like some pretty cool lyrics, and we're going to get those guys probably on next week's show once we've had a chance to give them a good solid listen and give them a fair shake and whatnot. But some kind of cool lyrics in there talking about thinking for yourself. But, yeah, we were talking about the Mexico elections, and it's kind of funny. Greg Palast feels the same way, that it's all kind of like rerun of 2004.
Yeah.
You know, he says, as in Florida, oh, no, 2000, oh, and 2004, oh, funny that, you know, he says, as in Florida in 2000, as in Ohio, 2004, the exit polls show the voters voted for the progressive candidate. The race is officially too close to call, but they will call it after they steal it. Reuters reported that as of 8 p.m. Eastern time, as voting concluded in Mexico, exit polls showed Andrés Manuel López Obrador of the left-wing party of the Democratic Revolution leading the exit polls over Felipe Calderon for the ruling conservative National Action Party, PAN, or I would reckon they've been saying PAIN. We've said again and again, exit polls tell us how voters say they voted. And again, we're ending up too close, but not quite.
You know what? Here's what I think we should do. I think we should institute a law. Well, I'm glad that you asked. I think we should institute a law that says that any election that is within 1% of being won or within 2% should be completely redone. They should have another election like a week later.
Another poll or another count?
Another poll. Throw out all the results and start over.
Huh.
This time, the second time with international observers in place.
Interesting concept. I hadn't even thought about that. You have someone in agreement over here. Gail's going yeah. I never thought about that. I thought there was kind of legal precedent that said that having another poll is in a way influence because you're changing the day that you take the barometer, but I think that there's merit to what you're saying, though.
Well, what have we watched? We've watched three elections in a row that have occurred. Where if it was tight, guess who it went to?
The right wing.
That to me is just, come on. Anyone with any seed of a brain would see that there's a pattern here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's in the countries that really matter to the uber right in America.
And also, if you follow just the trends of where they have the most influence are the only states that seem to be able to go their way. You know what I mean? You know, Mexico is, the relationship with Mexico is very different than the relationship with, say, Peru or Venezuela, you know?
It's shameful. I think we have a responsibility. Yeah, you know what we need? We need clean elections. But I got to tell you, focusing on the voting machines themselves, it's like, we're chasing our tail. We need to redo the elections process, and I think that part of that, this is just an idea I just came up off the top of my head a minute ago. But the bottom line is that part of that, we need to rethink what it means to have a decisive election, and what it means to have, people that in power that we can support. I mean, if we got, look what's happened in this nation the last 2 years. Last 6 years, with this freaking moron in charge, he has single-handedly created more polarization in the United States than we've had here in a long time.
Oh yeah, and it seriously has been like, the Beverly Hillbillies have taken over the mentality and the judgment of the United States. I find it really, really bizarre. That it's that for some bizarre reason there's still this knee-jerk faction that will still go out and support this moron no matter how many people he kills just because of who he makes himself out to be, which is a false construct to begin with.
Yeah.
I just...
Listen to us. We're just sighing on air. This is bad.
No, but that's the reality of it. I now am kind of seeing where Mike Papantonio was coming from this morning, where he said, when it comes to, those five states, just give up. He said something like, us progressives that are here will close the door behind you and leave a light on, and we'll fight the good fight all on our own, but take the energy to the rest of the 45 that matter. And I was just like, wow.
I've got to remind you of something, John.
What?
You can't. We're not. We can't use the term hillbilly for W.
Well, sorry. What am I being picked up on here?
Well, just to keep in mind that you know, we have a lot of listeners in some of the mountain states.
Oh,
and,
no. I didn't mean in that. I meant more like this cartoonish, almost return to a stereotype, a bizarre stereotype. I mean, please, you know, I mean nothing from that. Using that, and I'm getting some support here in the production chat. But you know, it's almost cartoonish. You know, when you just hear of the stuff that goes on. Ah, and geez, we almost forgot. Jim's still on line one. Oh my God, we've been sitting here ranting and raving. Hey Jim, why don't you hop on here for a second before we'll have to put you on hold again. But Jim, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, all right. We just got ranting and raving, and I'm looking at the clock. So what we're going to do is just hang on. We're going to do a couple quick messages, and we'll come back, and the floor is yours, my friend.
No es un problema.
All righty. So you're here with Bruce and John, just kind of ranting and raving, having a loose one, and you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio.
Muy caliente.
Oh.
On the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back with Jim right after this.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school. It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't. Ha, 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
It won't happen to me.
Did you know there are 1 billion teenagers in the world today? Think about it. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how to protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? What if they do know how, but don't have the means to protect themselves? The decisions young people make today affect all of us. Help ensure that people have access to the information and services they need to build a safe and healthy future. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Nice one, Agnes. Very nice. As we're wrapping it up, kind of a loose tail end third hour of Fourth Estate Radio, I'm John Fox in Sydney. Bruce, you still up there in North Carolina?
Indeed I do.
Right on. And Jim, holding on. Jim, come on in, man. The floor is all yours.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Muy caliente.
Hola, Motorola.
G'day.
G'day. Well, it looks as though the American electorate is going to be doing that act with that donkey in Tijuana again.
Ruh-roh.
Do not speak of my cousin, Jim.
Oh. I mean, how many ballots have they signed in dumpsters?
A few thousand, I heard.
Too much for me. I don't know. How are you gentlemen this evening?
I am well done. And yourself?
I'm well on the way.
I thought that was my job.
John would be well done. I'm still medium rare, but, it's all good, right?
I just finished watching a wonderful movie I haven't seen in ages called Walk on the Wild Side.
Ah.
I don't know if you remember that movie. I think I saw it when I was, like, 14.
It's been a long time.
Lawrence Harvey.
Oh, God.
I beg your pardon.
What was that, Bruce?
I beg your pardon. You got to watch out, or I'll do Carmen my lips well painted over the lip line.
Did I do something? Did I miss something?
Forget it. I think.
What did I do? What'd I say?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jim, I was going to say, you know, that was only a few years ago, but...
Buzz and calling to the dominions beyond the seas. I'm going to stick Queen Mary on you if you don't watch out.
Oh, promises. So, what's been happening with you, man? What you up to today?
Johnny Walker and I had a few conversations this evening, that's all.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I was just listening to your comments about the election in Mexico. It looks as though they're learning their tricks from us as far as having to really put on an election when nobody cares.
Yeah, the best elections money can buy, right?
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about polls. Good Lord, it looks like it's the worst thing that happened to polls down there since World War II.
What?
I said you were talking about polls and things like that. To quote Bette Midler, it's the worst thing that happened to the polls since World War II when they had these polls.
Right.
So is that Johnny Walker red or black?
Black.
Okay, just checking, all right.
No discrimination here. And my cat said to say you both hello.
The cat? What's the name of the cat?
First one is Rupert Brooke, and the second one is the Shady Lady.
No Truman Capotes?
No, certainly not. By the way, have you ever listened to Truman Capote's aunt on Jay Leno?
No.
By the way.
They have a woman on there named the Fruitcake Lady, and that's Bob Kincaid. She is Truman Capote.
Oh. Someone's going to have to send me some of this. This is too bizarre.
90, and she's on TV, and she's called the Fruitcake Lady, and she gives advice to the lovelorn on TV. I'm not kidding.
That's insane.
Oh, my goodness. This is
oh, that's insane. Oh,
who is
it? I have no
I mean, I think it was Nietzsche once said, you know, live life to its fullest, and he went insane. Well, look at today's world, and who can tell you the value of sanity, you know?
Well put. Oh, man.
How do we do, here's a question I have. Jim, I have one question for you. How can you do Truman Capote's aunt and Nietzsche in the same sentence?
Ask my psychiatrist. He can tell you.
Okay, because I'm going to say that takes talent, man. I mean, that takes talent. I mean, you need to have. Oh my God! A few shots of Johnny Walker Black and yeah, hell, it's woo. All right, this is
I love
entertaining.
Saturday night.
I'm still confident. It is the witching hour, you know. As a matter of
absolutely.
Fact, absolutely, he's right here near the phone, and he's wondering where these disjointed voices are coming from. He's standing right up over there and wants to say hello to you.
Oh, well, right on.
But anyway,
go
ahead. I'm sorry, gentlemen.
I'm sorry. I just keep have. Go, Bruce.
Do you have a quote? Do you have a quote for us? Because I'm sure you always call my show with a quote. I want to hear a quote, man.
A quote.
From something.
Well, I don't know. I shot an arrow in the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. And that's exactly what's going to happen in Mexico. I don't know what's going to happen down there. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. Like
oh, my goodness.
You know, it's...
I just hope that if...
the worth being held anymore? I mean, in this country, look what's happened in the past two elections, or I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane. And all I can hope for now, Jim, is that the energy of the people over there somehow bleeds over through the thick-headed American psyche that finally gets off their arse and does something. You know, it happens to them once. And they're taken to the streets, and I just applaud them. But then I look back home, and I go, what is wrong?
Yeah, and we got Barbara Boxer backing Joe Lieberman. I mean, what the hell's happened here?
Joe's in trouble. Joe's in serious trouble. You know, he's done.
Well, he should be.
Was his problem. Was his problem.
Let him drown in his own mess, you know, and
his own little fetid puke.
He's made his bed. Let him lie in it, and let the progressive and real Democrats and whatnot actually have the candidate that they choose.
Well,
then back
the debate between the Lieberman and his opponent. I mean,
well, he's talking about going independent, and now Boxer and Biden are trying to back him as fellow Democrats when he's being rejected by his own people.
Well, you know, Lieberman has a good staff, and he has good good constituent response to his people there. But, I mean, when he started kissing George Bush and stuff like that, I mean, that's when, you know, I had to run to the Imatrol.
And then to the Johnny Walker Black.
Huh?
What was that line? And can you pass down the mescaline?
Yes.
No, but I mean, you know, if people in Mexico watch what's going on up here, I can see why I could sit with a serape around me in 101 degree heat with my bag of ganja or dental floss, you know? Lord.
Going to wrap me up a crop of dental floss.
You know, I say, Viva Zapata.
Moving to Montana soon.
And got a I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to wax it down and get all my paint.
Okay, Jim, we don't want to hear about you waxing anything, all right? That's just too much information.
Hey, he was doing the dental floss thing, man. Give him a break. He was with you. He was backing you up, man.
Yeah. I know he was, man, but I just had to say it. You know, every time he says waxing, the image is just too much. I just can't.
Don't forget your zirconium encrusted tweezers.
Yes. My zircon encrusted tweezers in my hand. Me and the pygmy pony over by the dental floss bush. Yes.
Jim's no slouch. He knows his Zappa.
He knows his Zappa. Well, you know, you got an A+ in my book, Jim. Waxing things notwithstanding, okay?
Sir, I didn't have an apple today, but I'll bring you one on Monday, okay?
Yes, do that. A shiny red one.
Or
make sure it's waxed.
If you wish to have an orange.
Oh, that could be so wrong.
Jimmy.
So many.
There won't be like a razor blade in the damn thing, will there?
Mais non, monsieur. No razor.
Oui, oui.
Just a syringe with vodka.
Okay.
I thought we were going to hot ramble tonight, so I just thought I would say hello to you gentlemen and see how your program is doing and what made disgusting and problems you were trying to find solutions to, and wishing you the best of luck in your efforts to so do.
Well, thank you so very much, Jim.
And thanks for bringing a good laugh after what ended up being a somewhat minorly heavy show. We appreciate it, man. You're great fun.
Well, listen here. Like I say, buenas noches y Sherabato Motorola.
And happy shrimp day to you, too.
Good night.
Good night,
Jim. Thanks so much, man. All right. Bruce. Bruce and I are going to take one more break and recover from Jim's phone call.
CC.
And oui, monsieur, I thought in your general direction. I heard you go in there the other day.
I thought in your general direction.
And we'll be back to wrap up this edition of Fourth Estate Radio with you guys here on the Head On Radio Network. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Man, see what happens when we take a week off? I mean, we get nuts. We get absolutely nuts. But I'm going to leave the mind. Anyway, we'll be back straight after this here, Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Get On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hello there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. Y'all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You get very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
John Fox here, and as usual, the show has been produced brilliantly by the one, the only Agnes Kincaid at the Head On Head Studios in somewhere in West Virginia. Bruce, do you have something to announce?
Yes, I do. Actually, tonight after the show, we are going to be streaming. I attended the International Truth and Reconciliation conference. Yes, after that little fit with Jim, my brain is going bleh. But I attended this thing today, and I was able to record a session that's about an hour and a half long, and it was basically all of the international truth and reconciliation representatives who have gone through the truth and reconciliation processes in their communities. Had a session today, and I was able to record it and also get some feedback from some of the people who had participated in the one here locally. Now, Truth and Reconciliation, just for those who don't know, is a process where a community will go through, especially when there's been egregious human rights abuses, such as what happened in Peru or in South Africa with apartheid, these communities go through this process where they dig deep and they find out who the culprits were who perpetrated these crimes against humanity on the communities. And then in some places they've brought them to justice. In other places, you know, because the system was still corrupt, they were unable to do so, but they were able to do to bring about some healing. And so this session that will be on right after the show this evening in about 10 minutes or so will be the international folks who were gathered here in Greensboro today to talk about it. So it should be really interesting.
Well, that's excellent, man. That's excellent. And on the lecture kind of programming note thing, the Stephen Sewell lecture, which was supposed to air week before last, just didn't quite make it before the old production deadline, and we will be airing that next week. Just took a little longer to get in the can than we thought, and we will get to that next week. And I'm glad that you got this here for this week. This sounds fascinating, man. Very, very cool.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting. I actually sat through it today, so I know that it was interesting, but I certainly hope folks stick around and give this a listen, because, you know, the one thing that we need to do in our communities more is healing activities, you know, whether it's truth and reconciliation for some sort of, you know, terrible occurrence or not. I mean, you know, we need to have commissions to take a look at, you know, abuses that occur daily, even if we become so accustomed to these abuses that they become a part of everyday life. They're still abuses nonetheless, and we need to talk about it more.
Yeah, and I think the key thing is to just constantly go out there and seek and espouse the truth, and eventually the truth will have to win, because we are dealing with a situation where the people just aren't conscious of what's going on. You know, it just seems like the is it me or is there still a massive amount of the population that just still seems to be in disconnect of the fact that we have people dying over in a foreign land? I just don't know if it really, really connects with people.
I don't know that it does either, John, very much. But, you know, we have to keep working to try to make that happen. And hopefully through our efforts here at Head On Radio, we're doing some of that. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm sending as much, you know, energy and strength out to those that are taking on this hunger strike and however else you're trying to, you know, bring justice back into the society that is the global community. You know, we salute you. And, you know, I mean, I happen to be at a moment right now where I'm really frustrated again, Bruce, you know, like because of what's happening in Mexico and, you know, just when I think as we get more and more listeners coming in and joining the folds, that I think that there's an awakening going on. It seems like there's still that ongoing cognitive dissonance that I don't know how we're going to get through that.
Well, it's going to take some time for sure. And but with more people, yeah, exactly. With more and more people participating, though, I think we will be able to come to some agreement and to some ideas. I mean, you know, that's what it takes. This is not a, you know, this is not an I thing, as I've often heard. It's a we thing. You know, what we're doing is a we thing. It's all about democracy, and it's all about, you know, creating the opportunity for people to be engaged in their own political guidance. And you know, that's what the government was founded on. We the people, and we the people need to take it back.
Yep. Well, with that, Bruce, I'm going to wrap it up. Have a great week of the Bruce Birch radio program next week. I know you'll just have it just
thank you.
Smack full of guests and stuff.
Chock
and,
full of goodness.
You know, I'll be listening as usual. And a big thank you, as usual, to the Carpenters and Millwrights who make everything on this network possible. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers for keeping the bits flowing and popping and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and everybody out there keeps tuning in to us, you know. This is why we keep doing it. And we love you for it. Watch yourself, watch your back, watch your mates' back.